We're checking in on the latest treatment protocols as physicians manage patient care for COVID-19. Currently, no medication is recommended to treat the disease. No cure is available. But since March, doctors have learned a good deal about how it attacks the body. So what do you want to know about treatment progression? What things have you heard about treatments or drugs that you want clarified? We're at 800-642-1234. Dr. Jerry Wainaina is an infectious disease specialist. She's an associate professor of medicine and surgery at the Medical College of Wisconsin, and she's medical director for antimicrobial stewardship for Frederick Health, and she leads Frederick's COVID treatment protocol. Dr. Wainaina, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Well, explain for us, when you bring in a patient who is coming into the hospital to be treated for COVID, what are some of the first treatments or some of the first tests that are done on the patient?
When it comes to testing, the first test that we would do specific to COVID-19 would be the COVID-19 test to establish whether or not they are infected. We have the good fortune to have an excellent lab that were early adopters, and we had access to good testing from the end of February. And so we were able to get that going fairly well. Now, there are a few patients who would come in with clear symptoms and the test would be negative. What would happen is we would treat them as if they have COVID-19 and test them again to confirm, and usually we were able to confirm.
So when that test, when the test comes back positive, or it's pretty clear or almost very clear that that patient has COVID-19, what do you do from there?
So then the next thing we would do would be to get another set of tests to establish how they're doing in terms of their kidney function, their liver function, just so that we know where they are, how to treat them, and how to monitor them. The bedrock or the foundation of our treatment is really supportive. So supporting their physiological or their bodily functions, because we really don't have a cure. So making sure they're getting the oxygen that they need via whatever means works best for them, whether it's via cannulas that go into the nose or a mask or high flow, or do they need to be on a ventilator, providing extra intravenous fluids, and so on. So best supportive care is the foundation of our treatment.
Dr. Wainaina, what can be done to protect the lungs? Because COVID-19 really does a number on the lungs.
It does. And as one of the things we learned early is that it causes what's called acute respiratory distress syndrome, which often would lead to patients requiring mechanical ventilation and other interventions. This is not a new syndrome. This syndrome has been associated with other conditions in the past. And one of the things that's done for that is to nurse people prone, so have patients on their bellies to try and open up more of their lungs so that they can oxygenate better. So what we started doing early on in the disease is not waiting until they get to the ICU and nursing them prone, but rather doing it when they're in the hospital room on the floor.
How have you seen the way you treat COVID patients? How has it been evolving in these recent months? It's only been a few months where you've seen this dramatic rise in cases.
That's been quite a journey. So early on in March, like everybody else, we were going through all the literature that was coming through. And, you know, it was kind of like drinking from the fire hose. There was a lot of information coming through. We had to dig through the details because not all of it was peer-reviewed and try and sort out what's true, what's not. There was a lot we didn't know. So like everybody else, we started with what seemed to be working, which was hydroxychloroquine. By the time we got to the middle of April, our team, which is my team that's been working through preparing the guidelines and updating them over time, along with the other specialists in the hospital taking care of patients in our emergency department, in our ICUs, our pulmonary critical care specialists, and our hospitalists who are inpatient specialists, realized that it really didn't seem to be working. So they kind of stopped prescribing it. And shortly after that, we had more literature that was not really convincing. So we took that out of our guideline. In the meantime, other options were coming up, such as convalescent plasma, remdesivir. And so we started moving in that direction. Where we are right now, based on the literature, has been using plasma in our more severely ill patients, as well as offering remdesivir, depending on our supplies.
And we're going to be talking about both of those areas. Dr. Jerry Wainaina is an infectious disease specialist leading Frederick Health's COVID treatment. Have you or a loved one had COVID-19? Were you hospitalized? What treatments did you get? What looks promising right now? What do you want clarity on? We're at 800-642-1234. Dr. Wainaina, as we look at medications, another one that's been in the news is a steroid called dexamethasone. What is this drug? How does it work?
So dexamethasone is a steroid, and essentially what it does is it dampens our immune response and dampens an inflammatory response wherever it's occurring. We have learned over time that it seems like there might be two phases of COVID-19. The early phase is really more due to the virus, and the later phase seems to be more due to the body's response to the virus, which is an inflammatory response that might be a little more exuberant than necessary, and then which then causes us harm. And that is what causes our body systems to shut down, you know, causing respiratory failure, among other things.
How significant, when you see new potential drugs that are used for other types of ailments, you know, how do you approach that? You're obviously looking at the peer-reviewed research, but it's also new and perhaps experimental.
This is true. Everything we have right now is experimental, in the sense that it's never been used for anything before, such as remdesivir, or it's been used for other situations or other conditions, and we are now repurposing it based on either some experience with other coronaviruses, like the first SARS or MERS, or basic principles. We think that the disease causes inflammation via production of certain what are called cytokines or inflammatory products that the body produces, and we know that there are certain medications that can suppress those inflammatory mediators, and so we attempt to bring those two together.
We're exploring treatments for managing COVID-19, what doctors are trying, with infectious disease specialist Dr. Jerry Wainaina. She's medical director for antimicrobial stewardship for Frederick Health. An antiviral drug, remdesivir, as mentioned, has been approved to treat severe COVID-19 cases. What do you want to know about this medication and others being tried on patients? Have you heard about convalescent plasma? What do you want to know about antibodies? Join in 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with Dr. Wainaina right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're asking about the latest patient treatments for COVID-19 and what to expect in a hospital stay. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. About half of all states have logged an increase in their 14-day average of new reported cases after many lifted restrictions in recent weeks. What do you want to know about hospital treatments, the outcomes, the status of PPE, personal protective equipment? What treatments have you heard about that could be promising? Join in 800-642-1234. Dr. Jerry Wainaina stays with us. She's an infectious disease specialist at Froedtert Hospital. Dr. Wainaina, let's look at convalescent plasma. We heard about it early on, and this type of treatment has been around for at least a century. How is it going?
I would have to speak anecdotally here, meaning just based on what it looks like from the patients that we have given convalescent plasma. It definitely does seem to help, although we are learning that we need to time it right. It appears that if we give it too late in the disease or in patients who are too severely ill, it may not make a difference, whereas it doesn't help the patient, doesn't seem to help the patient who has very mild disease. It's those people in between that those antibodies in the convalescent plasma, because this is really what convalescent plasma is about, infusing a patient with antibodies that can fight the virus. They seem to work in that middle group of patients who have moderate to early in the severity of disease where they're requiring some oxygen support.
So timing, very important. And these this plasma is coming from people who have recovered from COVID-19, donating their plasma. Do you have enough of it at your hospital?
We've had enough to offer to the patients that we have that have qualified for it so far. It sort of is kind of as we go along type of supply, because we're really dependent on people making those plasma donations. And there's also, it also depends on what the blood type is, because we do have to match. So sometimes we're in a situation where we have plasma, but it's not the right blood type. But generally speaking, we haven't run into big shortages or discrepancies.
Are you optimistic about convalescent plasma and the treatment here? Do you see this type of treatment staying with you in your hospital?
We're fairly optimistic. We do have a trial where we're trying to learn more about who exactly and when exactly we should give this. So teasing out those details. One of the other things that we'd like to learn that we're not able to do right now is be able to measure the level or concentration of antibodies in plasma and determine exactly how much do we need to help a person recover. And if we know that, then we're able to measure the antibodies in a plasma donation and see would that be enough for just one person, two people. Do we need to give them two or more, and just be a little more specific or refined in our administration?
Dr. Jerry Wainaina is an infectious disease specialist leading Froedtert Health's COVID treatment protocol. If you care for COVID patients in your healthcare setting, have you seen treatments evolve or stay the same in these few months? Are you using convalescent plasma? What looks promising to you? We're at 800-642-1234. Dr. Wainaina, we heard from Joanne in Mount Horeb, called in, couldn't stay with us. And Joanne wants to know what you think of antithrombotic drugs and anticoagulant drugs in the treatment of COVID-19.
That's a very good question. One of the things we've seen with COVID-19 is the development of blood clots in blood vessels, in the legs and in the lungs. And we've been trying to determine who is at risk, who exactly has developed this, you know, without moving patients around the hospital too much. One principle we've been able to establish is because they're at risk, then we should probably protect them. And there's a way we can do that using certain anticoagulants at low dose to protect them. So this would be called prophylaxis. It's a little trickier to make the diagnosis with the limitations of moving patients around. But when we do make a diagnosis of a blood clot in the patients, you know, blood vessels in their legs or in their lungs, and those are patients that we would give anticoagulants or blood thinners. And so we have a protocol written out by our hematology or blood specialists for that.
Let's look at remdesivir for a moment, another treatment that's come in response to the pandemic, an antiviral drug. What do you see are the benefits and drawbacks of remdesivir?
So remdesivir is a new medication that has been trialed in other situations, most recently for Ebola. And it seems to have some activity against SARS and MERS, and now looks promising for COVID-19. The big study that was announced by Dr. Fauci showed that patients who got remdesivir improved faster, and there was maybe a little signal that suggested that they were less likely to die. So we think that this is useful. However, as we dug into the details, we recognized, again, there's an issue of timing. It seems to work best when given early, so within 10 days of symptoms. And it also seems to work in those patients who have moderate to severe disease. By the time a patient is on a ventilator or on extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, which is another type of invasive oxygenation, they may not benefit as much as a patient who hasn't quite gotten there. And then the patient with mild disease doesn't really seem to benefit from this at all.
Do you find that you're putting fewer patients on ventilators?
We definitely are. When we moved to nursing our patients in prone position early. So as soon as they're admitted, when they're in the hospital room, not before they go to the ICU, we noticed that we were able to avoid having patients transferred to the ICU. Our ICU transfers declined. The patients who needed to be on ventilators also declined.
How are you doing with PPE? Do you have enough of the protective equipment?
Right now, I am thankful to say that we have adequate PPE. We have different levels for different needs. And, you know, there's always and there's very careful tracking of who is using what and, you know, making sure that what people need is available to them.
Are you having to reuse PPE or clean it and use those masks again?
That is some of the protocol. We do have some reusable masks that they're not disposable. So those ones people would have to use, have cleaned, and then reuse. We are wearing our masks longer than we normally would outside of a pandemic. And that's because we're wearing masks within our facilities all day.
All day long, yeah.
Yes. So, you know, typically, with the outside of a pandemic, you'd put on a mask when you're going in to see a patient or when in contact with a patient who has a airborne or droplet, a disease that's transmitted by airborne particles or droplets. And then when you're done with them, take out your mask and dispose it. But given the known and well-established community spread, the fact of asymptomatic patients, which could be me, or my patient, we are wearing masks all day to protect our patients from us and to protect us from what our patients may have.
Dr. Wainaina, you described just a deluge of information at the beginning that was spreading out to doctors around the country and around the world as doctors shared information. What therapies do you think are the most promising now? What are physicians really dialing into?
Right now, the most promising treatments or therapies, at least in my view, looking at the landscape right now, would be convalescent plasma. Remdesivir is very promising. There is some work looking into hyperimmune globulin as well, which really all that is concentrating the antibodies that would be in plasma. Or finding a way to synthetically manufacture them and use them. So it would be the same principle. There are other treatments, those dexamethasone, as we mentioned earlier, that the dexamethasone trial that was announced from the UK. I thought those results were very promising. As with everything, we really do need to understand the details. This was a very complex trial, and teasing through the details to understand exactly who this worked in, at what point we should be using this would be good to understand. Steroids have been used for many patients throughout this pandemic in different ways. So I think this just confirms that.
Dr. Wainaina, thank you for joining us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Jerry Wainaina leads Frederick Health's COVID treatment protocol. Coming up, we take a look at what might be behind the recent increase in La Crosse County's COVID cases. We talk with an infectious control specialist from Gunderson Health right after this news update here on the Ideas Network.